I have a dear fellow here with me again. Glory to Jesus. The wife of my youth and my friend. Amen. And we are going to share the word of God again with you this morning. And I hope you were blessed last week. And I'm convinced that you'll be blessed even more today in Jesus' name.
Amen.
All right, so this morning, you can open your Bibles to Songs of Solomon. Songs of Songs, some Bible puts it. Songs of Solomon, chapter 8. And we'll just read two verses there. We'll start from verse 4. Songs of Solomon, chapter 8, from verse 4. And this morning, what we want to talk about is, you could title it, A Friend. A Friend. A Friend Indeed. A Friend Indeed. So we're going to talk about that because it's part of our discussion on these love games. And like I said last week, we don't mean love game from the negative side, because of course people play all kinds of games in life. But there are games that are good. For example, today, tonight, some of us are still coming back to church to watch a game. So there are good games, especially the one that the winner is your friend. Amen. Like Pastor Toyos, he said, as for him, the team he's supporting is the team that wins. Amen. And we are in that shoe together. Flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, sir. All right. So this morning, let's talk about a friend indeed. A friend indeed. Songs of Solomon, chapter 8 and verse 4. Media, are you with us? Or should I? Okay, all right. Thank you. Verse 4 says, I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, that you stir not up, nor awake my love until it pleases. Some of our translations says, don't awaken love when it is necessary or it is appropriate. The Old Man Christian Standard Version says, young women of Jerusalem, I charge you, do not stir up or awaken love until the appropriate time. Then if you jump to verse 6, the Bible says this, put me like a seal on your heart, like a seal on your arm. Love is as strong as death. Desire is as strong as the grave. Love bursts into flames. It burns like a very hot fire. I believe that there are two major names or major classification or representation of God that became very clear and apparent because Jesus came. The person that led us in worship this morning read from Romans chapter 8 to us. And in Romans chapter 8, the Bible said, God who did not spare his son, how shall he not together with him give us all things freely? So when Jesus came to the world, God was projecting himself as two names that in the Old Testament we had quite not seen him as that. Yes, he was already, you know, trafficking or indicating that he was going there. And those two names are, number one, Father. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to enjoy God, you need to understand the fatherhood of God. You need to receive the fatherhood of God. You need to know that God is your father. God is someone you can run to. And in God being a father, God is not just father as a figure. God is father in role and in responsibility. He takes care of his own. So God wants to be a father. And father is usually within the confines of marriage. In fact, marriage is an institution by God so that God will foreshadow what will happen with us and Christ. Because eventually, whatever we call marriage now, after this world is passed away, there won't be that, but there will still be marriage. That marriage will now be we and Christ. So fatherhood of God is a big deal. The next representation of God that is very important to us and that we should remember this morning is that God wants to be known as a friend. God wants to be related to as a father. But sir, more than being a father, God wants to be a friend. Because when Jesus was here on earth, he would call his disciples servants, and some people would call them apostles. But by the time he was about to leave, he said, I don't even call you a servant anymore. I call you friends. Friendship is one of the best relationships you can have with God, and interestingly, with human beings. If there was anything that is very necessary and needed in our world today, is that men and women need more friends. We don't need people that are around us. We need friends. We need people who will be friends. Marriages need more friends. There are many marriages that don't have friends. The two guys are going by the label MR and MRS sometimes. And in the United States, sometimes MISS, you know, whatever appellation they have in front of the name. But you find out that these guys are not friends. They are roommates. They share responsibility. They have shared roles, but they are not friends. The best relationship you and I can be in is the relationship called friendship. And so this morning, we want to go on that dimension, talk to you, the single people, the people that are not married, and the people that are married, how to cultivate friendship. So this morning we have seeds for you, right? And we said that we will give you the gift of seeds through friendship. And if we had those seeds together, it will look like this. So on behalf of my wife and I, we are wishing you happy Valentine's Day with our seed. Amen to Jesus. All right.
Hallelujah. So, before marriage, you know, love should be primarily displayed as friendship. And this friendship should be called courtship. But even before you start courting someone, I believe that friendship is important for life. Like, it's important to have a community that is Christian, that is godly, that would put you in check and tell you some things. Some things maybe some people may not be able to tell you, but your friends should be able to tell you. And I've seen this happen. Even I think it happened to us as well, you know, with friendship. And when I remember when my mom was asking me about who he was, I said, he's just my friend. How many of us here? A lot of couples that are married. But it first started with when you ask who the other, yes, they will say, oh, it's just my friend. And in my mind, I'm like, were you going to marry your enemy before? I mean, this person is your friend.
Amen.
And, you know, you're progressing. So I just would like to share that friendship is really important. Amen. And my first C that I have here is communication. If you are in a friendship that is leading toward marriage, what should be priority on your list is communication. Of course, we mentioned last week about your foundation being in Christ, in God. But practically, what are the things you should be doing? C, communication. Now, keep these conversations open, wide, varied. Open, wide, varied. Be inquisitive. Ask questions. Do you like food cold? Do you like it hot? Do you like the temperature? Just ask as many questions. I was watching Creflo Dora one time ago, and he was saying, these days especially, you need to ask questions. You need to ask questions. Are you normally attracted to male or female? And even if it is, just in case, because we see lots of things popping up, and these are questions that you can ask. And it's important that you ask questions, because if you don't have a set of questions or things that you would like to know about, there's a possibility for you to just derail off track. I'd recommend this book by Gary Chapman, What I Wish I Knew Before I Got Married. It has different questions.
Say the name of that book again.
What I Wish I Knew Before I Got Married. And it gives a guide for some questions. Some things the Holy Spirit will lead you to ask. Sometimes it's good to have a guidance, because sometimes people don't know. They've not been in relationships before. They may not have heard stories. They might just be naive and truly. But search for resources that will help you ask questions. Where would you like to be? How many children would you like to have?
Yeah.
Right? If God forbid, of course, God has called us to be fruitful. That's his command to us. Say fruitful, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. That's what his plan is for us.
Yeah.
But people go through trials with childbirth. If we If we have that situation, what are we going to do? If something happens, ask direct questions, but ask situational questions as well, just so that you can see where the person's heart or the other person's heart is. Now, this conversation should be open as well. I mean, depending on the deepness of your relationship, and the trust that has been established, there are certain things that you really should know about the person you intend to get married to. I heard of a relationship that the marriage broke because she had a child and did not tell him, and he just felt, and one of the things about, lying, about your questions being asked to you, is that you just keep thinking, what else is there that I don't know, right? What else? If you lied about your education or if you lied about your age, what is there about you? If it's something like this, I mean, there ought to be much more about you that I don't know. And it just, trust is easy to break.
Hard to build.
Trust is easy to break, but hard to build. And so when you are building, having that relationship with someone, establish, the fact that, I will trust this person, I'll be open. Have wide conversation. Don't only talk about money. Don't only talk about how to, raise children. Talk about different things. So have those open conversations. Let them be wide. Let them be very inquisitive. And I just want to share that there's nothing wrong about asking questions. Jesus, when we read the New Testament, most of the lessons that we receive from Jesus came as a result of them asking him questions.
Yeah.
If you don't ask questions, you would not know. It may seem like a stupid question. It may seem like an irrelevant question. You may be acting on assumptions. Just because of what the energy or the vibe that you're getting. And again, I would say, I guess, have the conversation really to know if you are even in a courtship or that's heading toward marriage.
Yes.
I see people having, time together. They are going for movies. Everybody already knows that this person is attached.
And
to
one
person
is already thinking that this is mine.
And the other person has no clue because there was no clear
communication.
They were just happy together. I just thought I was being a friend. We never had, I mentioned this last week that, they will have conversations as where would you like to stay? Where would you like to go? But you've not addressed the beginning to say, are we in a romantic relationship? Are we getting married? Is this, ladies especially ask this question. Yeah. What are we, what is this we're doing?
Who are you,
sir? Is it just friendship?
Yes. Or should we expect another one?
Okay, who are you? Or should we expect another one? If I gave you my invitation, wedding invitation today, would you, I don't know.
Okay.
Some people are
So we should have communications. And I think even these communications is not just when there is like a relationship. We should learn to talk. And 2022, I think one of the things that is an endangered species is that people don't talk. You can see a lot of friends, even in church. When you see people holding phone, it's not all the time that phone they are listening to you. They are already doing something. Let's learn to talk to human beings. Sometimes one of the things talk to our kids about is that talk to human beings, be social. God made man social, and that's very important. So let's keep that in our archives, that the first C that will help you in your friendship as a person that is not yet married is communication. The second C that will help is contact with definition. Have contacts with people, but let your contact have definition. Because you see, the way chemistry works in relationship, I'm getting into some scientific something now, right? The way chemistry works in relationship is when touching starts, talking stops. I'm married, so I know what I'm saying. When you start to touch, you will stop to talk. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
And many people, they have started touching earlier than they should touch, so they didn't talk. I have to tell you the truth. If many people slowed down the touching and did more of the talking, some people will not even get into a relationship that will need touching, because that person, they will know, this is not somebody I need to stay with. I need to leave. And when it comes to communication, don't only say, also observe. The Bible says, watch and pray. As you are praying, you are opening your eyes. Mr. Brother, this one that you are angry as if you are the chief angry inspector for your community. This one that I can't talk, I can't this, I can't that, I can't. Because anything he is doing now, he will do later. Can somebody say amen? If somebody told you who they were the first time, believe them. Don't make, I believe in making excuses for people. But when people show you who they are, believe them. If they show you that they are this angry person, believe them and be praying for them. And as you are praying for them, be asking God, should I stay around this guy or not? You know, but let there be contact with definition. If you are not married, you are not married. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Ah, somebody said, well, it doesn't matter. It does matter. It does matter. I've always asked myself, why is it that even the law puts some things at some age? Even the law will say that you need to get to a particular age before you drink. You get to a particular age before you drive. Don't you know there are many younger people that are like 10 years old, 12 years old, that are tall enough to drive? But why is it that even the law is not permitting some things at some time? Because there are some things that are only necessary when it is necessary. Remember what Solomon said. Solomon said, don't wake up love until it is necessary. You have a long time to be with your wife, but if you start doing those things that you should do when you now make that person wife, make that person husband, you will find out that even when that person now becomes wife and husband, you don't have anything to look forward to because you have eaten the cake before you were supposed to eat the cake. And like they would often say, you can't eat your cake and have it. Can somebody say amen? So the first C is what? Can you help me? The second C is what? All right, please speak to the married.
The third,
speak to the married.
Okay. So to the marriage, communication as well. Okay, in marriage, friendship is called coitus, which is just really meaning that there is a connection between you and your spouse. And here it's talking about communication. But before this, when I was thinking about us coming together to talk about this, I remember that when Jesus was giving the example about the house that was built on sand and the house that was built on stone, the foundation was very, very important. The house that was built on stone, the two scenarios had the same circumstances, yeah. But one house crashed, the other stood still. And what Jesus was saying here was that he that hears the word of God and does it is the one who will have, you know, that will reign and, you know, be able to weather the storm when evil things come. Now, a marriage will experience one storm or the other. But what the scripture says is, do the word of God. Husbands, love your wives.
Yeah.
Wives, submit to your husband. Not because we are weaker, right? Maybe because we are more powerful.
You are stronger. Yeah. I mean, right. Can't you see they are stronger?
Right. So, I just want to set the foundation there that let's do the word of God.
Yeah.
I will share a story before I go to the sea. Sorry, I like talking too much.
She's so very quiet.
A man complained to a pastor to say, well, Lord, he told the pastor, said, Pastor, this woman, he was talking about his wife, that this woman, she has just lost it. She's terrible. She's blah, blah, blah. And what he said was, God said, love your wife.
Why?
And then he complained and said, Pastor, this woman is not my wife. She's now my neighbor. In fact, she has moved out of my room and she's now living in the living room. We are not living like neighbors. We are just, you know, in the house. And he said, the word of God says, love your neighbor. And she said, this woman is not my neighbor. She's my enemy. She wants to kill me. She wants to destroy me. And the pastor said, Love your enemies.
As yourself.
That's what the word of God says. And if we truly prioritize the principles of the word of God, our marriages will be beautiful.
Yeah.
God will help us in Jesus' name. Now,
amen.
My first C for marriage is communication. Again, communication, communication, communication. And I think it's important that we also understand that there are different communication types. So, of course, there's a lot of communication before you get married, but after you get married, let the communication continue.
Yes.
Talk. Talk about things in the dining room. Talk about things in the bedroom. Don't be shy about what you like, what you don't like. That's how you can let... The other person, I mean, the Holy Spirit can inspire the other person to know what may be on your mind, which sometimes I feel, even with my husband too, I feel like he should know. He shouldn't do this. But... you know,
I will just know.
Yes, and he too will be thinking she should know this, right? But communication just makes it a little easier for the other person to know what you know, what they need to do.
Yes.
And again, realize that your communication style, it might be different from the other person, and you need to be able to, you know, be very flexible to say, okay, this is how this person communicates.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit is also very, very important in saying things when there are many times I want to say, I told you, just so that, you know, it will let him know that
you let it go in.
You let it go in. After I told you this, you still went to go ahead, see the result. You feel like, even with our friends, we want to press it in to say, I was wiser, I told you. Mm-hmm. But the Holy Spirit will just say, shh, don't say that.
Yeah.
You might talk about it later, but not now. Mm-hmm. You might not even talk about it. God will be the one to speak to him, or God will be the one to speak to me.
Yeah.
Right? So communication, the help of the Holy Spirit is important. Also knowing communication styles. For ladies especially, I think personally, I think I have the personality, maybe not to talk too much, but I talk a lot inside. I may not say it out, but I talk a lot inside.
So silence is not always golden.
It's not, not necessarily. I think it's important to be able to iron those issues out.
Yeah.
Communicate and tell them. And I would say for all my brothers too, one of the times I was telling my husband about, I was complaining about something, I was telling him, and then he was just telling me all the solutions.
Hmm.
I said, I just told you, I don't even know, I'd never heard that from anywhere before, but I listened to a marriage couple and they were talking about it, and I told him then, we're driving in the car, and I said, I don't even need you to tell me the answer to this. I just need you to listen. Yeah. I just need you to identify with me. A lot of times, I think men, I'm not a man, I'm married to one, but you guys can, they're just like, solution, tell me what's happening, let's go, right? But ladies, they are just like, you want to say, all they need you to say is,
all this soft. You see, there's software, there's hardware. We are hardware. Hallelujah.
Oh, and she did this. Ah, and she did that. Wow. And she did this. Oh, how could she?
Gist, you know, gist.
They just want a gist impact. That's a tip for my brothers. That's communication.
Amen.
You have identified with her. And then she will now even say, I know what to do.
Yes.
I'll just do this.
Yes.
That's a good idea. You just thumbs up. You've not even said anything. All you may have said is, And she says, I'm going to do this. You just be like, that's my girl. That's it. You have communicated. But if you come and just say, this is what to do. Don't do it. She's like, I don't need a preacher. I already know what to do. I just want someone to, ginger me.
So communication is the first C also in marriage. And in communication, you keep assumptions minimal. The second C is closeness. Because you see, the scripture we read this morning, two sides to it. Verse 4 was talking about the fact that don't wake up love until it's necessary. Then verse 6 was talking about the fact that love is like fire. And if anybody understands anything about fire, is that there needs to be some stoking or some you, especially bonfire. You have to fan it. You have to do something to keep it burning, because every fire has the potential of going out. So that means that the fact that we started communicating in a marriage, we need to do something to make sure that the friendship gap is always there. And that friendship gap will be there if there is closeness, if we become close. And many times, most married people, their closeness, sometimes they have left it to a particular room. They left it to the bedroom. But you see, we need closeness in every room, especially in the rooms that don't have brick and mortar in our hearts. You need to be close. There are so many people that when the problem escalated was not when it escalated. It was long ago. We were not close.
Sometimes, the other day, when we're talking about this together, I was telling my wife that sometimes, if you ask a person, tell me your friends, and you try to distinguish between family and friend, many people will measure their spouse. They assume, they will just, that's my family, that's my wife. But what about friend? This is not, if there was no marriage, if there was no children, if there was no these roles that were, is this person my friend? So I'm saying this morning that for us to make that fire, keep the fire aflame, you need to work on your closeness. You need to know that a brother, a sister that wants friend must show himself friendly. Let me say this, that the best gift you can give anybody you call a friend is you yourself. Tomorrow, many people are going to be giving Valentine gifts. But you see, you can give me, and you can even give me a car, you know. But if you don't give me yourself, so I want you. A true friend wants the person, you know, not the present or the things that they bring. So what we are saying here is this: for you to keep love alive, communication is important, and closeness. And this closeness is predicated upon the fact that you as an individual in that relationship, you have a responsibility to be a friend. You have a responsibility to pursue closeness. You can't say, well, if we want to be close, my wife needs to do some things. Yes, she may need to do something, but I have found out this, that if you do your own thing, you may force them to do their own thing. Most times when people read that Ephesians chapter 5 that you read, they focus on what the other person is supposed to do. They forget what they are supposed to do. But you see, Ephesians chapter 5, the instruction came to everybody, and it didn't say that you should do this because the other person did that. So husband, love your wife. It didn't even say because your wife has submitted to you. Husband, love your wife. There was no condition. So that means that sometimes when the wife is not even submitting, husband still love your wife. Well, sometimes when the man is not loving you, wife still submit. So the condition, the instructions were not conditional. They were spoken to the person. So this morning I'm saying to you, for closeness to happen, you and I need to understand that me as a person in this relationship, I have responsibility to do. I have things to do. And if I focus on my own part, God will take care of the other part. If people understood that particular statement that I just said now, it will solve a lot of problems. If I do my own part, God will help the other parts. I know that sometimes people drop the ball, but because of God who is rich in mercy, and as I'm speaking this morning, I'm saying it prophetically, as you do your own part, every other part will come together in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
All right, so let's speak to the singles again.
Okay, speaking to the singles again. The other C I have is commitment. Commitment. Be committed to laying a good foundation. Be committed to showing love without getting physical. There are other ways to show love. And I think maybe me, I'm just a little more compassionate to my sisters, you know. All this cooking, you know, before you even know. Cooking, washing clothes. You are not married yet. There are other ways to show love and commitment other than going to the bed or going, you know, doing chores. You've been bought with a price. You are special. You are unique. You are not cheap. Someone is not going to be, test driving? There are some cars. Do you know that there are some cars that they won't even let you test drive?
No, sir.
Because of the price of what it is.
Yeah.
You might go to a regular store, a Hyundai, and I have a Hyundai, nothing wrong with it. But there are some stores you go to, some car shops you go to. By your dressing, sometimes they will not even come to you because they're like, this one cannot afford, right? So please know that you are priceless. You cannot be bought.
Yeah.
And be committed to this. Be committed to it. The reason why I'm saying it is because the Bible also said also in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1. I remember when Pastor Ezekiel came for our marriage conference or the relationship conference the other time, and he opened our eyes to this scripture. It says, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. It says, marriage must be honored among all, and the marriage bed kept undefiled. For God will judge sexually immoral people and adulterers. But he asked the question, did the scripture tell us here how God will judge? He says God will judge. Yes, God is merciful, but he said he will judge. Do you know how he will judge? With your children or with you don't know. Right, so yes, we know that God is a God of mercy, but if he has given us this instruction and told it is possible, I'm not saying I told also an inspiration that came and I tell my children that things are hard does not mean that it's impossible. That it is hard does not mean that it's impossible. It is possible if God told you to stay pure, if God told you to keep yourself before you get married, be committed to that and have that as where you are going. Right, so let's know that God does not, God is not going to say, oh, yeah, of course, this is not me judging anybody. Have mercy, God is the one who has mercy. I mean, you can pray to God and say, Lord, have mercy, have compassion on me. Sometimes, in the you know, in our ignorance and our weaknesses, we fall, but be committed to this,
yes, sir.
Knowing that waiting is not wasting, you are putting more emphasis on what is important. You are putting more, like we mentioned, communication, getting to know yourself, building character. One of the things I'm learning even about my own personal development and leadership is that when you make promises to yourself, it helps you to believe in yourself more, but to also believe in other people and most importantly God when he makes a commitment. You know, when you yourself, you are late to places, you fail on your assignments, it becomes very real to you. Failure and, you know, not meeting your targets becomes so unreal to you. And it's hard for you to believe God or believe other people because you know you fail all the time. But when you're a person of commitment and say, this is what I'm going to do, you believe in yourself more, you believe in other people more, and it helps you to believe God more. So be a person of commitment, be a person of purity. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name.
Amen. And another C that I will give to the singles is confines. Maintain boundaries. Maintain confines. Life without boundary can be very interesting. I have had people say, "Boo! It's a free world." In fact, in the New Testament, we are in the free something and all of that kind of thing. I had this, I think Pastor Adeboye first said it. He said, the price of liberty is an unending vigilance. Anybody that really wants to be free will have boundaries. You have to create confines. You have to create boundaries, especially in your mind. You are not yet married. Don't let people just dump things in your mind. This guy comes, says that, says this. It's okay, especially when we are beginning to move in a romantic dimension. We know that this is leading into something and all of that. You sure, words are good and all of that kind of thing. But even at that, don't let God, don't just let anything and everything come into you. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4 and 23, it says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. Everything that happens in your life is flowing from inside of you. And most of the things that are flowing from inside of you are coming from the plethora or the many things that have been done there. Especially when you were not even paying attention. So guard yourself. Create boundaries. Don't let everything happen. Don't just permit life to just... The way some people sometimes do their life, do relationship, is as if they are on a boat. And that boat, there's nobody steering it. It's just rolling. Row, row, row your boat. You know, life is just a dream. You know, don't do that. Don't do that. You don't live your life to just anything goes. Don't live your life to just anybody says. Don't, even in this old friendship, everybody cannot be your friend. I choose my friend. I even choose what I listen to. I choose. As much as I believe in the body of Christ, I don't listen to everybody. I don't, if you are playing a particular message now, I excuse myself. You understand? I don't watch everything. I don't listen. Everything that comes through WhatsApp, all those things that people forward, send to 10 people, 12 people. Even if people start sending, send to 10 people, 12 people. I put you in archive. Thank you. Somebody showed me how to put people in archive. I just put you in archive. Also known as, I will see you when I see you. Amen. So, great confines, friends. It helps you to be able to become a very good person. So, let me do a recap of all the C's that we have given to singles. Communication, contact with definition, commitment, and confines. All right, let's speak to the married.
Can I just say something about the confines? It's an old school tip, you know, how they will say, you know, don't, when you are dating someone, don't go to their house alone. Don't, you know, spend, it might be old school. What has been effective. Don't go to secluded places, dark at night, where the mood is already set. Like, why?
You are speaking about tomorrow. She's prophesying now, right?
When you put yourself in such situations, you are likely to fall.
You are being serenaded.
You put yourself in situation and you will fall. Because you are human, and so knowing that you are human, you will then set the boundaries.
Yeah.
Discuss with the person that you are dating or someone who's your friend. This is what we decided we'll not do. No kissing, no touching. We'll not be in this place. Even if you're having dinner, we'll have it in an open place where everybody can see. So that it would not be easy for you to fall into sin. Because like someone will say, Pastor Peter, I said, the devil that you are playing with is not playing with you. God knows the destiny and the things that he has in store for you. And he will put things in your life to tempt you so that when you fall, it's like he got you. One thing about this mercy and forgiveness thing is, one of the reasons why God tells us not to commit sin and even not only, you know, sexual sin, generally to live a life of purity, is because when you don't, it affects your confidence before God. You can't approach God. You can't, you know, you can't say, always feel like, God, you can't use me. You can't do it because the devil will remind you of what you've done, what you've said, how you did that. He wants to impede your purpose. He doesn't want you to live out the full potential of what he has in store for you.
Yeah.
So don't give him things to remind you of. Don't give him that opportunity.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
The Lord will help us in Jesus' name.
And if you have questions, Pastor Toyosi will come and answer it next week.
Okay. Yeah. Please keep
because
the
I know
coming.
That some people have questions.
Yeah.
When you mentioned the particular word, I felt it in my spirit that somebody said, So if you have questions, media, you can show them the link. If it comes quickly, we can answer it here. But if it doesn't come on time,
okay.
Pastor Toyosi is a marriage guru. He will come sometime and help you out.
That's all the hard questions. Amen. Okay, so the next thing we have here for the married is contributions. And this is just really about investing in your wife or your husband. Investing. How are you helping or investing in your spouse? Do you help? Some people say, he likes sports too much. You two get to know about sports. You two get to know. That's one of the reasons. That's one of the way you can encourage closeness and companionship, by getting interested in what the other person is interested in. And it's interesting that couples, we have to talk about these things, because you know, remember, they always say opposites attract, right? That same thing that, you know, how effervescent the person was so joyful, and then today you're like, you talk too much. You know, you've seen the person so much that you are now getting irritated by the things that first attracted you to them. Now, get to find out more about them. The sports you like, why do you like it? Let's go watch together. And also, ask her about makeup as well. Follow her shopping. Shop for her too. Yeah, shop for her too. I don't mean you should rob the bank. Or I'm not saying you should empty the bank account. We have budget. We have things we work on, right? I'm not giving allowance for your spending spree. I mean, by all means,
shopping,
if your husband wants to do that, that's great. Yeah, and you can afford it. You both have agreed. That's great. But follow her shopping.
Follow her shopping.
And I don't shop,
for brother,
I don't shop. I don't shop much, but.
But you know the way women shop.
That's it.
This is what they will buy. They will see it when they came in.
Then they will go around. 2 hours later, they will now come to this thing that they will buy. Why don't
it's
you
the
buy
experience.
It the first time you see it?
It's the experience.
The experience. I can have the experience on my couch.
It's the experience. And some of those things that we left that we didn't buy, we might come back for it again. And we just this bargaining and we help, you know. So I mean,
in the days of online shopping, you can have experience on your phone.
But the point is, be interested in what the other person is interested in. Help in the kitchen, cook. Sometimes you might not, as men, you may not maybe know how to do everything, but just being there, you know, can help. You can wash the dishes. Wash. Now, sometimes people have seen my husband wash dishes before.
Somebody asked me yesterday when we came for that, we will be washing dishes. I said, better no now. Even we said, we wash
dishes.
You
wash dishes with the anointing.
And I don't do a lot of housework.
Yeah,
you know, you people are kind to me a lot.
Yes.
I have to say that publicly so that I won't go and say what I didn't used to do. They'll say,
but
you know, you've told them in church now.
But he helps when, we were blessed to have my mom with me. So it's
she's.
That's most people put us together.
Oh, my God.
You know, she makes things
she's
work.
An angel.
But there are times when she's not around. Anytime she's going like this, my volume is always high in the house. I always say, everybody, know what you are doing, no? Make sure you go to bed on time. I'll be saying this so that you two will get cued that it's not business as usual, so you know what to do.
Don't go and say you are praying. We are all praying together. One day my wife called me and said, it's one that you will sleep when people are awake. And you are awake when people are sleeping. Is it working for everybody?
So have those conversations and be just be interested in the other person. Really care. And that's why the friendship is important. Really, if someone is your friend, you will care about what is important to them. How's your education? How's your work? How is that person? I'm very, very impressed that he knows the names of my bosses. So he will say, oh, how is George? Yeah. Will say, I hope they are behaving, because he knows he will pray.
We are speaking about those guys in prayer.
Mention the guy's name.
You must favor my wife.
He knows about, and it's just be interested about, because that's what matters to them. When they are happy, eventually it will rub off or you'll be happy. So just really be interested and truly care about the other person. So contribute.
All right, let me add the final C today. And all these C's, I think all of us can use it, the married, the non-married, and it is celebration. Keep celebration around your home. There is something about joy. There is something about, you know, an atmosphere where there is joy. You get many other things there. There is something about this sorrowful, angry atmosphere. Especially some of us that are, you know, from African descent. Sometimes people think to be a man is to be mean, to look mean. And some people even think to be spiritual is to be mean. You talk like everybody is not a demon, amen. Your family members, play with them, play with the children. It's godly. You know, one of the best things that blessed my life while I was growing up was that when we started high school, and my friend and I were supposed to go to a particular boarding school, we didn't eventually get there. But when they would go and visit my friend, once in a while I'll follow them. And usually they go to visit him after the Holy Ghost service. And in those days, the Holy Ghost service was even longer. Pastor Iboye, this was early days of Holy Ghost services. He will lay hands on people. He will be very tired. Do you know that after that service, he will still go for the visiting day himself? And I mean, there have been people all around him for a long time. He used to touch me very, as a kid. I liked it. I liked that the father that was very spiritual was still celebrating things in the life of their child. And really, that is one thing that we need to do a lot in our homes. Celebrate one another. Celebrate the birthdays. And don't just celebrate it without thought. Be thoughtful about it. Tomorrow is Valentine. People celebrate Valentine. But are you thoughtful about it? Did you put some thought to it? I have found out that many gifts that are thoughtful may not be expensive, but they'll be more appreciated. There are too many people that just spend money, but they don't spend thoughts. They don't think. So I can
go to a store, don't give me that ring, give me this. And when I give it to the person, they know that I really didn't think about it. So to maintain celebration in the home, be thoughtful, be interested in every member of the family, trying to, like she mentioned, contribute into every member of the family, understand that joy is a weapon. Joy is a weapon. Sorrow is also another weapon. Sorrow, the devil uses sorrow. That's why you must make sure you let joy out. That's why the Bible says in Nehemiah chapter 8 and 10, the Bible says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Meaning that when there is no joy, you are weak. So to keep marriage going, to keep, make sure that you do things that, you know, can bring celebration. Sometimes even watch comedy. Amen to Jesus. I mean, my wife knows that I just like it was Reverend George that told me that, and he mentioned the fact that you do mind juggling. you know, with some of these jokes. So sometimes I watch comedy together, you know, to laugh, you know. Like the other day, we have one new joke that we are laughing about. You know, one day I was driving after prayer, after prayer altar, and you know, the spirit of slumber came. Amen. But the spirit of God was available to take away the spirit of God. But I was talking to her in the moment, and suddenly I just said, "National calendar."
I was just like, trying to interpret what he was saying.
So I just caught myself. I said, "What did I just say? National calendar." So now, if I just get into the room, I just say, "National calendar," and you know, we'll laugh, we'll celebrate, we'll be joyful, you know. We laugh about many things. We laugh about our mistakes. We laugh about things we said. You know, that's how to live. This life can be interesting, you know. And don't make it too hard. I know you have not done everything you want to do. Especially with the men. Sometimes you are very driven. You have plans. You have this. You have that. Praise God for your life. But celebrate where you are now. If many people knew that what the devil is putting inside before them now, very soon it will also pass. They will enjoy the moment. There are many people that are living for someday. Let me tell you, life is today. Look at your neighbor. Tell them, say, life is today. I'm not saying that there's no tomorrow coming, but let me tell you, that tomorrow that is coming, we only meet the people that have used today. There are some people that won't meet that tomorrow. Why? They let sorrow kill them today. So take this with you as you're living. Create celebration around your home. Even if you are young, single, you are not yet married, don't let people make you feel bad tomorrow. Can somebody say amen? If there is no Valentine, you are the Valentine now. Can somebody Hallelujah. Say amen? The Valentine just means I am the Valentine. Amen to Jesus. Like I read one of the jokes this week. The man said, next week is Valentine. And somebody said, say hello to him. Did you catch that? They made Valentine a person. So you tell yourself, I am Valentine. Don't let anybody put you under pressure. You know, some people are thinking, Valentine again, I don't have a Valentine. But I have myself. And I am a Valentine. God loves me. And I love myself. I can buy myself a card. I can take myself to movies. I can buy myself dinner. I thought I'm talking to somebody. So don't let nobody put one funny mood around your life and make you feel like something is not happening. There's a lot of things that are happening already for you, that you are even alive with all the Omicrons and all of that thing. The omnipotent Father has kept you out of Omicron. Huh? So if he has done that for you, don't let nothing put you under pressure. Create celebration in your home. Create celebration around you because God is for you. And as we round up to this morning, and maybe my wife have one more thing to say, is you need to understand that you can only be a friend indeed if you are a friend to yourself. The reason why many people are not friends to other people is that they have not been friends to themselves. People don't love themselves. You don't even know yourself. You are kind of angry with yourself. That's why you're angry with everybody. Some of us, we like ourselves. When I look at the mirror, that guy I see, I love the guy. Come on now. Sometimes I will look at the guy and say, God, see guy, see walk.
finish. And then when somebody comes and stands in that same mirror, we have a big mirror now. Amen. I look at her and say, Chai! If you don't know Chai, ask for the spirit of interpretation. God will interpret it to you in Jesus. Say something and then we'll have everybody stand up. We'll pray with them.
Yeah, about the celebration, not only birthdays and anniversaries, keep the atmosphere. I just saw this and I thought you would like it. It might be Starbucks. It might be anything, you know, that's just thoughtful. Don't leave it to the big days.
Big days.
To celebrate. So that's sometimes, especially for the men, if they forget the big day, even the lady will... They will be able to forgive easily.
Hey.
Just as a sign.
I wanted to take that and keep it in my pocket. That if I forget the big days.
You don't forget.
I don't forget.
I've never
forgotten. Whoa! Yeah.
One of the things that I've realized about well, whatever works for you. But one of the things, I thought initially that he was very... careless. He doesn't think a lot. But I've come to realize that he's very thoughtful, and I have. And the first experience was even for our wedding. We didn't have much then. We're trying to cut out. Because I was like, okay, we can just have. I don't even need to have a train. My husband said we'll have train. I'm like, why are you so particular about this? And it should really be a lady who will say, oh yes, we're going to have, you know, a large trade. He was very particular about, and then I was like, am I sure I'm marrying the same person I knew? Come to surprises. But what has kept us is the fact that I knew that he was God's choice for me. So when I see surprises and things are like, sometimes some surprises are great, they are so good. Some surprises are like, what? You know, but
like, I have what kind of surprises?
Of course. Are you not a man? You're a man of God, but you're a man.
Before the man
but
of
you're
God.
You're a good man. God
Thank
bless you.
You.
So,
Thank
I mean,
you.
It's that has been, you know, our experience. I mean, yeah. We cannot do a whole marriage counseling or, you know, with just on a Sunday service, but we hope that these things that we've shared, yeah. You know, has inspired your heart and encouraged you to embrace love and to be a better person, either as a single or a married person.
Amen to Jesus. If you have been blessed, I want you to put your hands together for Jesus. Glory, glory, glory to Jesus. Can we just bow our heads and talk to God? To really be a friend indeed, you must love yourself. But you see, to love yourself, the word love is a person. There are people here who need to meet the person called love. Friendship with yourself, with other people, will be meaningless without meeting him. Jesus is the embodiment of love. And this morning is in this room to meet with you. He's in this room to meet with everybody who wants to say, Jesus, I want you to be the love of my life. I want you to come into my heart. I want to make you my Lord and Savior. I want everybody to rise up this morning, and I'm going to pray with that person, that guy online, in here in person, who wants to say, Jesus, I will receive you into my life. Then I'll pray with everybody that God will help us to be friends indeed. I want us to sing this song while... If you are one of those people who says, I want to make Jesus the love of my life, I'll ask you to place your hand on your chest. And after service, I'll ask you to come here in front of me or the pastors, and let's know that you made that decision. That's the best Valentine gift that can happen to you. Whether somebody give tomorrow or not. God already gave the original and main Valentine gift. For God so loved the world that he gave this Valentine gift. And so, we're going to say, Jesus, you love me too much. Too much excess love.